society, always be aware of your surroundings. They are among us. They always have been. The true criminal minds, killers, evil, and some are monsters. Welcome to True Criminal Minds with Douglas Boyd. True Criminal Minds gives you the stories of the most notorious and the most vile among us. We do not cheer them. Rather, we expose their evil. We do always advocate, lift up, and pray for their victims. Welcome to True Criminal Minds. Welcome to True Criminal Minds. I'm your host, Douglas Boyd. Thank you so much for joining us today. I really do appreciate it. If you like this podcast, please consider subscribing to it. Remember that we talk about a lot of things that are not for younger ears. There is explicit context on these episodes, so please don't let your children listen to them. Viewer discretion is advised. I want to talk about a few different things today. Saw a couple of things in the news that was interesting. Let's jump into it today. Thank you again for joining us. To go to the news right now, let's look at a news item I want to talk to you about. This, according to Daily News on Microsoft News, a Texas landlord admits to murdering a tenant who disappeared in 2006. Now, we mention the word true criminal minds on here a lot. And one thing that really always bothers me and angers me about these criminals is what they do to these families. The victims' families. These people suffer such a great deal of torment, especially cases like the one I'm going to read to you right now. This, according to Microsoft News, a Texas landlord admits to murdering his tenant who disappeared in 2006. Says here, a former Texas landlord turned himself in this week, admitting to the murder of a tenant who disappeared in 2006, according to authorities. I don't know if I'm saying this right, the Lolano County Sheriff's Office said that Jimmy Wolfenbarger, age 57, gave himself up to authorities Wednesday for the homicide of Holly Simmons, whose teen daughter reported her missing in 2006, according to CNN. The Texas Department of Public Safety said that the surrender followed Wolfenbarger's indictment last week on one count of murder in the case, according to the news outlet. He has been released from Lubbock County Jail after posting a $2 million bond, said the sheriff's office. And looking at his picture, he just looks like a creep, I'm telling you. Holly Simmons has a picture of her on here. She was young, looking, vivacious, beautiful, had a daughter. Now imagine because of what this man did, imagine all of these years have gone by. Imagine what it did to this lady's poor daughter. It angers me, it frustrates me, that anyone could have a mind so sick that you would do this to your fellow human beings. I never feel sorry for people that have a true criminal mind. They are despicable, they are sickening, and they are the dregs of our society and need to be locked up or, depending on what they did, exterminated. Jimmy Wolfenbarger faces charges for the death of Holly Simmons. Authorities said in a statement that Simmons was last seen dropping her 17-year-old daughter at a bus stop for school that day before she was reported missing. The missing woman's body was discovered in 2009 in a lake near her home where a recreational diver found a submerged boat holding her remains, according to the statement. Concrete bags had been positioned over the body, which was identified as Simmons from dental records. DPS said that Wolfenbarger, who lived near his tenant in an RV park at the time of her disappearance, was named a suspect 5 years after the Texas Rangers Unsolved Crimes Investigation Program started probing the mystery in 2016. Wolfenbarger has been ordered to surrender his passport. It's just disgusting. It's just disgusting. And I tell you what's even more disgusting is that he's free right now. This guy posted a $2 million bond and he's out. He is out. He is among us. This man is obviously a twisted, psychotic killer, and he is among us, folks. I don't understand any judge allowing this man to post bail. I just don't understand it. Now let's jump over to North Texas, where I am from. Back in, I believe it was 2008, a man named Wallace Bowman Jr. from Bowie, Texas, murdered two people in Bowie, Texas, and then he went to Scotland, Texas, and kidnapped and murdered a store clerk. Now I want to tell you one of my gripes, one of the things that just enrages me about the court system, about the legal system, how things work, people that aren't really punished for what they've done, and then they are allowed to go free and continue to kill, to maim, to change people's lives, to destroy people's lives. William Bowman Jr. killed two people in Bowie, Texas, drove to Scotland, Texas, kidnapped a store clerk at a small store there. The town is so small you can drive through it and not realize you were in a town. Kidnapped this poor woman and killed her. Just read in the news that he had filed an appeal. What a joke. But this particular case struck home with me because I live in this area. I grew up here. This man killed these people in Bowie, killed this poor store clerk. And here's the deal. Court records show that this man, William Bowman Jr., was given a $3 million bond, which he couldn't meet. But had he been able to meet it, folks, he would have been out. He would have been out on the streets. He just killed three people. And the store clerk, this poor store clerk in Scotland, Texas, they know that he did it. He confessed and led them to the body. And he was offered a $3 million bond. Are you kidding me? This young woman, 46 years old, I call her young. Everyone's young to me. Her name was Mindy Daffern. They even had surveillance footage showing her being confronted by Bowman at her family's store in Scotland. Her body was found in the small town of Sunset, right by where I live. He was charged with capital murder, found guilty. Now he's in prison. But I want to show you something. Court records show that Bowman was convicted of sexual assault in 1997 and sentenced to 7 years. He also failed to register as a sex offender in 2004. Bowman was given probation after being convicted again for burglary of a building in 1996. This man had shown our system that he did not need to be out among us. And yet, because our system is so lax, so forgiving of those with a true criminal mind, he was allowed to go free. And three people are now dead because our system failed our society. And I look at what this Texas landlord did, what this man did, and look at the trail of victims that these people leave behind. The mental anguish, the torment that these people had to go through and are still going through because of twisted individuals with a true criminal mind. All right, so today let's go to the website, onlyinyourstate.com. I want to read to you about Let's go to the website, onlyinyourstate.com. We're going to look at 7 unsolved mysteries in the state of Texas. Murders, disappearances, they happen all over the world, but Texas has its share of grisly unsolved murders and mysteries that will keep you awake at night. Here are 7 of the most disturbing, bewildering, unsolved mysteries in Texas. Number 1, the murder of Amber Hagerman. One of the most well-known cases in Texas, the murder of Amber Hagerman, gained worldwide attention and even prompted officials to create Amber Alerts for missing persons. On January the 13th, 1996, the 9-year-old was riding her bike to an abandoned grocery store in Arlington with her 5-year-old brother, but he went home while she stayed behind for a while. A neighbor, Jim Keevil, saw Amber riding her bike alone from his backyard. He witnessed someone in a pickup truck pull up and snatch her. When she screamed, he immediately called the police and they launched a massive search to find her, along with volunteers and the FBI. They felt certain that the abductor knew the area well, and since the abandoned lot was popular for young kids to play at, they believed that he did know the area. 4 days later, a man walking his dog found Amber's body at the bottom of a creek bed in Arlington, Texas. An autopsy confirmed that she had been held alive for 2 days. During that time, she had been sexually assaulted. The police have responded to thousands of leads, but none have led them to the murderer. The killer still runs free today, but police say they will never give up on Amber. Number two today, Lovers Lane murders. On August the 23rd, 1990, 22-year-old Cheryl Henry and her 21-year-old boyfriend, Andy Atkinson, went out for the night, never to return. The next day, they were found brutally murdered in a desolate, undeveloped wooded area in West Houston, popularly known as Lover's Lane. The couple's car was still at the scene, but their bodies were found in the woods nearby. Cheryl had been raped and then murdered. Her throat was slashed and her body was covered up with pieces of wood. Her boyfriend Andy was found tied to a tree with his throat slashed. Apparently, he was nearly decapitated, and the police also found a golf club and three golf balls lined up in a row pointing to Cheryl's body. Four partially deflated balloons were discovered tied to the tree above Cheryl's head, and a $20 bill was on the ground next to her. Cheryl was killed first, which meant Andy had to look on helplessly and hear Cheryl scream in agonizing fear and terror. The Harris County Sheriff's Department linked the murders to another unsolved rape and burglary that was committed a few months before the Lovers Lane murders, but the case still remains unsolved. Number three today, the Killing Fields. This story consists of many murders and disappearances along a stretch of I-45 south of Houston and Galveston. Since the 1970s, more than 30 young women and children have been found dumped along the remote stretch of highway, and some have been found in a 25-acre patch of land a mile from I-45 that has been dubbed the Killing Fields. Detectives believe this was the work of a serial killer due to the sheer number of bodies found in this same area. In a letter written to police in 1998, a convicted murderer named Edward Howard Bell claimed to have murdered 11 of the girls in the Galveston County. And although he was a suspect in the case, police didn't have enough evidence to press charges against him. Didn't he confess? Well, there's our system again, folks. Only one of the brutal murders was ever solved when Louisiana police arrested Kevin Edison Smith in 2009 on drug charges. His DNA matched the biological evidence found at the crime scene of Crystal Jean Baker, who was just 13 years old when she disappeared from a Texas City convenience store in 1996. Unfortunately, the rest of the murders remain unsolved. This is why we say in the intro, folks, always be aware of your surroundings. Number four today, the Icebox Murder. This is one of the most baffling and strange cases in Houston's history. On June the 23rd, 1965, police got a call from a man named Marvin, the nephew of Edwina Rogers, who was one of the victims in the crime. He had been calling the house a few times and got concerned when his phone calls went unanswered. So Marvin contacted the police. When they arrived at the home of the elderly couple, Fred and Edwina Rogers, they saw nothing immediately suspicious. The house was locked, but they forced their way inside. Food was found on the table, and for some reason the officers had a hunch to check the refrigerator. Inside, they found numerous slabs of washed, unwrapped meat stacked in an orderly fashion on the shelves, which they thought came from a butchered hog. They didn't find that particularly unusual. However, just as one of the officers was about to close the door, he saw two heads staring back at him from the vegetable bin, which were that of Fred and Edwina Rogers. The cuts of meat were actually the legs and torsos of the victims. Investigators determined that a claw hammer was used to beat Fred to death, and both of his eyes had been gouged out. Edwina had been shot at close range in the head, and both their bodies had been dismembered and hacked apart in the bathroom. Despite the gruesome murders, not a drop of blood was found in the house. So unusual. Incredibly unusual. The couple's sex organs had been found in a sewer outside the house, and some of the body parts were never recovered. They strongly suspected the couple's 43-year-old unemployed son, Charles, might be responsible. Charles lived in the attic. Man, this is the story of a creepy Stephen King movie. There were a few drops of blood near the attic door, and a bloody keyhole caused even more suspicion. But they didn't find Charles inside. He disappeared and was declared dead 10 years later in 1975. Some believe that Charles was a CIA agent who was somehow involved in the assassination of President John Kennedy. Man, this just gets crazier as it goes along. But of course, these claims can never be validated. Perhaps the strangest part of this case was the fact that Charles only communicated with his parents by slipping notes under their doors. Neighbors never recalled even seeing the man. And although the police were almost certain that Charles was responsible for his parents' murders, the case remains unsolved. Okay, now that is one of the most bizarre things that I've ever heard of in my entire life. Number five, the Phantom Killer. The Phantom Killer, an unidentified serial killer, was responsible for what the news media called the Texarkana Moonlight Murders, committed in the spring of 1946. Folks, we think that serial killers are just something that has happened in recent years or whatever. Serial killers have been around for many, many years, much longer than we know. The killer attacked eight people within 10 weeks, five of whom were killed. He struck only at night, usually 3 weeks apart, and all documented cases happened between the weekends of February the 22nd and May the 3rd. The murdered include Richard Griffin and Polly Ann Moore, Paul Martin and Betty Jo Booker, and Virgil Starks. The first two victims, Jimmy Hollis and Mark Leary, as well as the last victim, Katie Starks, survived, but they were wounded severely. Most officials don't connect the last attack to the work of the Phantom Killer, but they can't be sure. The Texas Rangers came in to investigate, including the famous M.T. Lone Wolf Gonzalez. Texarkana was on high alert that summer, and most people didn't dare step foot outside their homes or hotels at night. A movie and a book have been created about the grisly murders, and the 2014 book, The Phantom Killer, Unlocking the Mystery of the Texarkana Serial Murders by James Presley, points to a man named Yuval Sweeney as the killer. While he was arrested for car theft, he was never convicted of the murders. Number six today, the Yogurt Shop Murders. On December the 6th, 1991, four young women were found inside a I Can't Believe It's Yogurt shop in Austin, Texas, after the store had been set on fire. After the fire had been put out, firefighters saw the charred bodies of Amy Ayers, Jennifer Harbison, her sister Sarah, and Eliza Thomas. The investigation spanned nearly 8 years, and although two suspects were convicted, both were released in 2009 due to a lack of evidence. According to information, five cold case detectives are still working on the case. Number seven, the Televangelist Bomber. An unidentified bomber first sent a package to Lakewood Church in Houston, Texas on January the 30th, 1990. I remember so well when this happened. Pastor John Osteen, the father of famous preacher Joel Osteen, Pastor John Osteen's daughter, Lisa, opened a package that was delivered to their church. This package was a pipe bomb. Left her with third-degree burns and cuts to her abdomen and legs, and she was severely injured. She's made a full recovery, doing great, but the package was also mailed to the Christian Broadcasting Network in Virginia, nearly taking the life of Scott Cheapers, a security guard for the business. Both packages were mailed from near Fayetteville, North Carolina, but no suspects have ever been apprehended. It's just creepy and it's terrifying that these cases have never been solved. They walk among us, folks. Always be aware of your surroundings. Thank you so much for joining us today on True Criminal Minds. If you enjoy this podcast, please consider subscribing to it. We'll see you next time on True Criminal Minds.